It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to do a little bit of a scientific poll here. Thanks to you and your kindness, I have a bean and cheese burrito here.
Hey!
What was that?
He just threw a ketchup packet at my face. You just threw the ketchup packet at my face?
I meant to hit you in the back, but it kind of curved a little bit.
That almost hit me right in the eye.
So not the eye.
What are you throwing curveballs?
I threw it over your shoulder.
Good grief.
You put an eye out.
he's like Wild Man over here.
So, and it was a show that I was gone for. You guys had some drag out fight about putting ketchup on a burrito.
It got ugly.
Yeah, so he's trolling me, and I don't appreciate it. I appreciate the burrito, but don't troll me with the ketchup.
I left a couple of packets of ketchup in there for him to try. Are you going to try this?
I'm going to try it, yeah. So I got the burrito.
So, by the way, this isn't just your average bean and cheese burrito. Like, this is a higher end.
Yeah, this isn't from some gas station and a microwave.
Yeah.
Don't do it, Scotty. You're going to make me gag.
I'm just going to try it. I'm not a big ketchup fan in general either.
And I'm not saying, like, this isn't a red iguana bean and cheese that's smothered, you know. Like, this is just your rolled up bean and cheese. And Scotty has now put ketchup on. Lloyd, you almost
hit me. He does not look pleased, by the way.
All right, so I can understand the appeal of ketchup because as a condiment, it's a little bit thicker,
mm-hmm.
and so it's easier to drive and put ketchup on a burrito and eat it.
Oh, yeah.
Convenience factor. Because the green sauce, I don't really get where you got the red sauce. I don't really like, but the green sauce, I love the green sauce. There.
And you see, I loaded up the green sauce.
Yeah.
But you choose convenience over flavor.
No. I'm not there yet. I'm just saying I understand the value of that. However, it wasn't awful. It was better than I thought it was going to be. But it's probably not something I would
do again.
So
your preference is the green sauce.
Yeah.
Okay. I can totally live with that assessment. That's better than having it thrown at my eye.
Yeah. but here's the other thing, too. I'm not a huge ketchup
so
fan.
Dramatic.
Like, with fries, like, if there's no fry sauce, and I know I'm totally being a classic Utah resident right now, if there's no fry sauce, I won't just go plain ketchup. I'll just go just the fries.
Riley, my youngest,
yeah,
asked for fry sauce. At a restaurant in New York.
I love it.
Wow. I couldn't, the response is what?
Yeah. That happened
to
me.
Do we have what?
Hey, when I did the mission thing, you know, I'm in North Carolina and I'm thinking fry sauce is across. Look, I grew up in a bubble, Idaho and Utah. Like, I assumed that fry sauce was a thing. I didn't know it was a regional, you know, LDS thing.
Had no idea.
Go to North Carolina. Hey, do you have fry sauce? The hell are you talking about? Get out of here.
No, it's for real. Like, yeah. It's people, and she was fantastic. She ended up getting everything so that Riley could make her own little fry sauce. But she was like, so what do you do? You know, it's 50-50. It's part ketchup, part mayo.
Yeah, maybe a little barbecue sauce if you have some.
You can do barbecue sauce. I think some people do a little barbecue sauce. What the old training table that shut down?
Oh, man, missed the old training table.
They did, but they put a little barbecue sauce.
The dipping sauce, yeah.
They're dipping sauce with their cheese fries. Now, it cost you $24.99.
It was
pretty expensive. And then they charge you $8.50 for their dipping sauce. But at least you could call from your table on
and
the phone.
And 10 cents a second from the phone.
Hey, you worked at training table, didn't you?
I did.
Whoa, you worked at training table?
Yeah, the one in Murray.
Yep. Yeah. It was what were you? Were you kind of, were you one of the cooks or were you?
No, I was like, are you kidding me? I was like barely 16, I think. Oh. And I had a, it was like the dishwasher and go clean up the tables, busboy.
Oh, that's the tough.
That was brutal. Awful. That's why it didn't last very long.
Did you get free cheese fries though?
Yes.
Oh, you did.
Had that like every day for lunch.
So their dipping sauce was incredible. It was really good. And you could put that on your burgers.
You know how they made that?
It was I think it was Miracle Whip and
what?
No, it was not.
Shut your mouth.
You said that to cause a problem. No. Yeah, you did.
I didn't.
Get out of here.
And
then
I think like a little bullseye. Something like that. Some sort of barbecue sauce. Don't get mad.
Miracle
You
Whip.
Said that to cause a problem.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
But you liked it, right?
Stop. Hey, what bugged you the most about people at training table? Like what would they do that bugged you? Was there anything? Did you hate when there was like four or five kids at a table and they'd leave a bunch of crumbs under the table?
And a 50-cent tip.
Yeah, and nonstop calling on the phone. Stop calling me. No, I'm not going to bring anything out here.
You didn't think it was cute when the little kids would get on the phone and be like, hello, and the parents are like, hey, call them. You didn't think that was
Somebody
cute?
Somebody will answer if you pick
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, we answer. Yeah.
Oh, man. People with their kids are the worst.
Oh, that's not true.
That's true.
Kids are the worst.
Some people try.
Yeah, but like,
it's the ones that just completely disconnect.
Yeah, you let your kids running around everywhere. Like, hey, get those rugrats on a leash. Let's calm down here a little bit.
There's no question. Sometimes it's like your kid has, your two-year-old has a spoon reaching over the buffet line, like trying to get the Jell-O, and it's rolling down the spoon handle onto his arm and onto the floor.
Yeah, kids at a buffet. No bueno.
I feel like you're describing Jackson right now.
Is that what Jackson does?
He's fun. I want to be really careful how I say this. You were gone last week. Yeah. We were on a remote at a place, and there was a child that was probably four or five that was just running roughshod through the place, screaming, crying, yelling, picking up things, throwing things. And I'm looking at
and
John.
This wasn't Jackson?
And I'm looking at John.
No,
and
it wasn't. I'm pretty sure it was the same kid. It was the same possible kid that was there when you were there, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, it was that type of thing.
Oh, yeah, you were there. We had a kid incident there, too.
About a month ago.
And I'm looking at Johnny, and I'm like, hey, Johnny, go fix this. And he's like, it's a kid. What do you want me to do?
What do you do?
And you can't really do anything.
No, you can't yell at the kid.
No, that's not okay.
Did it finally...
It finally kind of, a kid ran out of steam after hour three of the show. But.
Yeah, the kid was there. They were like there for like 2 hours, it seemed like.
Oh, no.
And I love when I get the tweets like, hey, shut that kid up.
Oh, it makes for a long day.
Yeah.
Was it bring your kid to work day? It's like, stop. No.
I can't do anything about it. Leave me alone.
Well, buddy, we've got a great show put together for people today. I'm excited to kind of revisit some of BYU Media Day. And you had a fantastic conversation with Jaren Hall, by the way. Fantastic. A lot of great questions. I thought Jaren's answers were great. But we're going to revisit some of the conversations with Kalani Sitake, Aaron Roderick. I thought Coach Kloon was fantastic.
Yeah. Coach Kloon may have had the best interview of the day. I was driving down listening to him with DJ and PK. I'm like, wow.
He was really good. So, BYU fans, settle in for a minute. We'll have a good conversation with this. And Utah fans, maybe settle in and get ready for what you're going to see in week two of the season, because I think BYU is going to have plenty of talent.
Let's get to it. 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Starting lineup begins now.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health.
Gotta love it!
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
You know, Scotty, I want to start by saying, obviously, I was gone during BYU Media Day. It's been tough with these media days, trying to build vacations and having things not coincide. I thought most of them would be Zoom calls again.
Yeah.
But I am glad that these media days are open up. But I want to start by saying our staff here at The Zone just knocked it out of the park. I mean, professional interviews, but just a touch of fun, a little bit of lightheartedness. You know, all of us have a bit of a relationship with these coaches and some relationship with these players. And I went through every interview that was conducted through BYU Media Day, and everybody was fantastic. And I'm just proud to be a part of this station and proud to be just a member, a part of the talent that every day is on air here at 12 to the Zone. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
And I thought that you knocked it out of the park with Jaren Hall. We'll get to some of those conversations. The other thing I like is, you know, these conversations aren't pressed for 25, 30 minutes. They aren't pressed for 40 minutes. You know, it's a snappy conversation. Just get to the hits and get out.
Yeah.
Don't bother these kids with a bunch of gobbledygook. Don't bother these coaches with a bunch of yammering and blah, 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 blah. Hit the points and get out.
Yeah.
And I thought that everybody on this station did an exceptional job of that. I want to start with some of Kalani Sitake's comments. And Jake and Gordon had a really great conversation with him and asked him if he felt like they might have a good team coming up this year.
Yeah, and I think I said it last year that we have a chance, and I think we have a chance this year to have a good team too. It's just a matter of getting through some things and working together and got some new faces to the program. But I think all together, I really like the culture of the program and the team, and looking forward to seeing these guys perform and compete.
You know, I don't know, Scotty, if it really came across the extent of confidence that these coaches have in this roster and in this team. Did you get the feel?
Big time. And I mentioned that throughout the day, too, where it just felt like there was something like a kind of just a underlying, oh, you think we're going to take a step back? Just wait.
There is kind of that feeling, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
And I, without divulging too much, and obviously I'm able to talk to some of these guys on more of a friendship level, but without divulging too much in regards to how these guys feel, I think that they are very confident that the guys that are going to be filling in the gaps that have been vacated are very capable.
Yeah.
For instance, you lose Brady Christensen, and you lose him pretty high up in the draft. And rightfully so. He's going to be a great offensive tackle for a long time. But you're able to fill that position with a guy in Blake Freeland that I believe Blake in 2 years is probably going to be the same level draft pick as Brady Christensen, as long as the development continues. Now, you know how I feel about Coach Grimes.
Yeah.
I've talked to you a lot about him off air. In regards to his offensive techniques. And Mateos, the offensive line coach that he took with him, both of them are disciples of the man that taught me in the world of offensive line. Both of them are Howard Mudd disciples. Howard Mudd considered probably the greatest offensive line coach in NFL history and built guys like Jeff Saturday. You know, Jeff Saturday, probably one of the more famous guys to come off that offensive line. But was able to win a Super Bowl, was very close with Peyton Manning, worked in tandem with Peyton to understand the needs of a quarterback for offensive line play, which I always loved kind of hearing those two kind of go back and forth because they do it at the end of the day in practice. Howard would walk up to him and say, what do you think of that depth? What do you think of that split? What did you think of that window? Do you need us to cut out these backside or defensive linemen? Do you need that backside DN cut out to flip back on a quick turn screen? Like, and that, you know, the working with the quarterback. Well, that's Mateos and that's Coach Grimes. So I knew that they would develop an offensive lineman. Look at them; they were the first ones to get an offensive lineman drafted out of BYU since like 2004, five. I can't remember what it was. So they and not only did they get one drafted, I think they've set up a couple in James Impey and others to possibly get drafted this upcoming draft or the following. But Blake Freeland, I think, has all the tools, all the bells and whistles. I know if it was Mateos and it was Grimes, they would turn that guy into an NFL player, and he would be a very suitable replacement instantly for Brady Christensen. Now, I don't know this new online coach. I've heard a lot of people talk about him.
I had a conversation with him.
Yeah, no, you had a conversation.
But if nothing to the point where I could evaluate him as a coach. And
right.
All I know is the guy's been everywhere. I mean, he's one of those coaches that
he's seen a lot.
Been around.
Yeah. So my fingers are crossed because the talent is there. This is what I'll tell you to all BYU fans out there. If the offensive line fails right now, if they fell in the next 2 years, this is not a talent issue. It's a coaching issue. So there's a lot of pressure on this offensive line coach because I know he has the talent. So I think that these coaches are supremely confident that they're going to be able to turn and burn. And Kalani Sitake was talking about some of his talent and was asked about his running back situation. This is Kalani talking about Tyler Allgeier.
He's as real as they come. And the one thing I could tell you, his work ethic is unbelievable. And it's nice to see a young man come into the program, go through some development, learn the game, play the variety positions, and then commit to being a contributor on special teams first, and then having that transition onto the football field as a starter and as a you know, big time playmaker for us on the offensive side of the ball.
What kind of thoughts did you have with the confidence of Tyler Allgeier?
It was funny because I had him and Lapini Katoa on at the same time, and so I had a chance to chat with both those guys. And what really jumped out to me is the fact that for him, it seemed like there was kind of a I want to make sure I say this because it's not in a negative way, but it's a you kind of had a look, I told you so. Kind of vibe to him.
Okay.
Like, I knew I could do this. You tried to move me over to linebacker, and you finally put me back at running back. I knew I could do this. I felt like I could do this all along. Finally, you guys listened and gave me an opportunity, and I had an 1,100-yard season with 13 touchdowns. And I think and again, this isn't the right word, but I don't know what the next level down from this is, so I'm going to say it was a level of smugness to him. Not in an obnoxious way, but just like, yeah, you look, I'm the guy here. And Katoa's great, too. It's a nice 1-2 punch that we have here. But make no mistake, I'm the best bleeping running back on this roster, and I'm going to go out and give you another 1,000-yard season this year.
That's good. You need to have that. It's actually, you know, anytime you can get that kind of swagger and confidence, but numbers to back it.
Yeah.
You talked about his numbers right there. That kind of confidence. So I think a lot of times when you throw the word smug, which I think it's right usage because it's that feeling. A lot of times when you throw, that guy's so smug. Well, he doesn't have a lot to back up what he's done. This guy's got some numbers to back it up. So I like it. I like that from Tyler Allgeier. And he had a really good offensive line in front of him.
Yeah, and we talked about that with him as well. Is look, you lose three of those dudes to the NFL, and now you got James Empey back, who's a flat out stud and is going to be great. But with that said, you're moving some dudes around, you know, to left and back to right, and what are these guys going to do? And he's like, look, they all got playing time last year, you know, they got opportunities. Mm-hmm. They saw time out on the field, and they know what the expectations are around here. We're going to be fine.
And I do have confidence in guys like Clark Barrington.
Yeah.
And I've got confidence, obviously, in guys like James Empey. And I know that Barrington's got a brother, Campbell Barrington.
Yeah.
That is supposed to be a beast.
I heard that name come up a couple times.
Have you?
Yeah.
I think he's going to be really good. And you got Harris LeChance.
Yeah.
Who should be good. So I think that the value is there. And the confidence should be there, but here's the thing. So, Scotty, you and I try to be as honest as we can. You have that offensive line changeout, but not only do you have the offensive line changeout, you've got a complete reversal of schedule. And you're right out of the gates. The first three defensive lines you're going to see, maybe not as much Arizona as Utah and Arizona State, but the three defensive lines you're going to see are going to be as good, if not better, than anything you saw last year in a single game. And I'm trying to think through games last year that would have been really good defensive line. You know, Coastal Carolina.
And that dude from Coastal Carolina gave him some fits.
He was a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
But you're going to see that every other week this year. So,
I mean, you go through the schedule, and it's, you know, kind of a reminder of the lack of like, you know, Boise State had that – was Curtis Weaver on that team last year? Because he was a stud. They did not. But anyway, they had some guys on that D-line. But other than that, you know, I would say that Coastal Carolina –
talking about Boise State?
Yeah.
No, Weaver is gone, right?
Yeah, he was gone off that team. Coastal Carolina had a good defensive line. San Diego State had a good defense overall, and BYU still beat that team 28-14. So, yeah, I mean, there were some opportunities there that they shut down some guys.
I've got Phil Steele's top defensive lines pulled up in front of me here.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got Utah sitting at number 11. He's got Boise State sitting at number 27. He's got USC sitting at number 37. Washington number 54. These guys are all in the, you know, in the top, the upper echelon. USC, Utah's number 11. That's going to be a really tough defensive line to match up with. So
yeah.
BYU's going to have a whole different set of problems. But everybody does need to remember too that most of the times when you're facing a mediocre defensive line, it was a blowout. What I'm saying is it's just going to be tighter and more difficult. But I do like the confidence that everybody was showing, and I liked Kalani's thoughts on Tyler Allgeier. I wanted to get to one more with Kalani Sitake. He was talking about what he's looking for in his quarterbacks during this quarterback race.
There's the personality, the leadership, a lot of the things that you look for in a guy that you can help, that can help you win games. And I feel like we have three really good ones. They're going to have to figure out who's going to be the starter, because it's going to come down to whoever earns it. And that's the only way I can function as a head coach, is to give the starting job to the guy that deserves it. And so we're going to go with that in mind. And they know I feel really comfortable with them. A-Rod does. The whole coaching staff feels comfortable, and the team feels comfortable with those guys. And I'm really looking forward to them competing, getting better, and you know, with the competition, hopefully all three get better, but hopefully one of them would definitely stand out and then take that starting spot.
You know, I go back to the conversation that Kalani had after his second year. That was the rough year, right?
Yep.
3-9 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the problems they had was a quarterback. And I remember the next media day, we talked to him in regards to that, and he said, we did ourselves a major disservice, and a major disservice to Tanner Mangum, too, by just anointing him as the next quarterback. We didn't push him. We didn't have a true competition. And he may, in the back of his mind, think this is Jaren Hall's job.
Mm-hmm.
Or I got to think he's thinking Jaren Hall. You know, if you put some true serum, he'd probably say, I'd be surprised if Jaren Hall is not our starting quarterback for week one.
For game one, yeah.
But he's not going to hand the job over to him, because he learned his lesson that did not work out well for anybody. Mm-hmm. Have a true competition. Let these guys battle it out. And if Baylor Romney comes out of nowhere and is the better quarterback, name him the guy. If Jake, you know, Conover ends up being the better guy, give him the job.
Well, I want to remind everybody that about this time – last year, and I'm trying to think through the COVID situation that we were dealing with, but Scotty, about this time last year, I was in the same conversation telling people it really should be Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Of course, he's the number two overall pick, but I was telling people it really should be Zach Wilson, but I couldn't say, oh, this is Zach Wilson's job, because you know, there was still some speculation out there that there was going to be a competition. Well, there wasn't really a competition. They wanted to keep the pressure on Zach. Zach kind of knew that, but Zach had ownership over that offense, and it was kind of obvious that he was going to be the starting quarterback. That's the Jaren Hall situation we're dealing in right now. It's about the same. Now, Zach obviously was a number two overall pick. He had an incredible quality about him. Jaren is not that right now. Jaren's just trying to figure out what it's going to take to be a starting quarterback at BYU and face the schedule he's going to face. But that's kind of where we're at with this quarterback competition. They do want to keep him honest. You're 100% right. They want to keep him honest. They don't want to just hand it over to him.
No.
They want to create some competition. But that's where we're at with the quarterbacks.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, as we are live here in studio.
Just for the first time.
Used to be in on remote. Hey, we're live here. Oh, just you and me and Lloyd.
We would like to sell the studio today.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
He wants to buy the studio.
It's gorgeous. I will say, Scotty, our city skyline is being blotted out by this massive building being built.
I know, this construction thing.
This thing is huge. It's, what is that, like? Tandem hotels.
Well, and every time
I will be shaded until noon.
And every time I think that they've got, like, all right, that's where it's going to cap, and then they bring out the cranes and put another level on it.
Yeah, they continue to add floors. It looks like they're at 12 right now.
Knock it off. We had a nice view there for a bit.
I bet they're both parking garages.
Ugh. All right, Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We'll talk more. You'll hear from Aaron Roderick coming up a little bit later on, and some of the players as well. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
I get why the fan base is grumpy. That is one heck of a way to lose not only a basketball game, but to lose a series.
I've seen a lot of fans being very angry and yelling for this and that, and others saying you're not being reasonable, blah, 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 back and forth. But they're really disappointed because these Jazz fans have invested a lot into their team, and the expectations were so high for this team. You start the series by winning two straight games, and then you drop four straight? After last year complaining about losing three straight and how much you had learned from that, you go out and lose four straight. That's a difficult thing for fans to absorb.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network, Hans and Scotty. All right, we'll get back to the BYU stuff here in a second. I want to run something past you here.
All right.
There's a guy that I follow. He's a barbecue guy in Texas. And his restaurant, and I'm going to show you a picture here in a second, has created, it's called Fiesta Mac. Mac and cheese, barbacoa, queso, pico de gallo, cilantro.
Hold on. So... So it's a mac and cheese, and did you they add barbacoa?
Yeah, so they have a mac and cheese base.
And the barbacoa, that's just a seasoned pork, correct?
Yeah. So barbacoa, queso, pico de gallo, cilantro, and topped off with hot Cheetos.
Spicy Cheetos, huh? Hot Cheeto. Hmm. That looks amazing, man.
I'm not turning that down.
No, it looks like it's it looks like it almost might be like a goat cheese queso, which, by the way, have you had goat cheese queso?
I don't think
it's kind of a more deep, thick, creamy flavor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that looks really good. Yeah, I would be all over that.
Yeah.
Barbecue is kind of stacked on top of the mac and cheese, not blended in with it.
Yeah, no, it was all on top. And that's the thing, like, I might go more brisket, some chopped brisket on there.
See, this reminds me, I've got to get out to a Bees game. Because those Bees games, they've got some amazing food. People underestimate what's out there at Smith's Ballpark. Like, it's, and I know that, you know, it is a ball game, so it's going to be maybe a little bit more expensive than if you were to just go to the store and buy a couple things. But it is unique fare that they've got there.
I just tweeted out that, retweeted that, if you want to see for yourself. You and I might need to take the show to Texas.
Where is that?
It's the guy. His name's Grant Pinkerton. He's got a Pinkerton barbecue down in Texas, in Houston.
And you and I got on a Twitter back and forth with a listener about barbecue stuff.
Yeah,
and I kind of handed the whole thing over to you, and you threw out a location. I'll leave it up to you if you want to mention it. But
we have had it once, though. You have had it. It was at one of the, they did a brisket at one of the, what's the place that you, the customer appreciation, Mountland Supply. Remember, he did the briskets at that. I think it was 2 years ago. So we've had his brisket before.
I totally forgot.
And it's probably some of the best, I can't think of having better brisket than that. It's Bam Bam's, I'll just say it. Yeah, it's Bam Bam's. And that's, I've had it that time, and then I've had it one other time. So I haven't been there a lot either.
Yeah.
But that guy has figured out brisket for sure.
Well, it seems like he hasn't sold out to corporate. It seems like he hasn't downgraded in his quality because it feels like everybody's doing that. Cause you know, prices of good meats continuing to go up. So people look for a lower end provider.
Yeah.
Those low-end providers, they, you can never get the texture, the taste. You can't get that from a lower-end product. This was always a fight that my mom had with her, any of her providers and any customers, because she'll just fluctuate the price. She's not going to lower her quality.
Yeah. So she has to charge a little bit more for it.
She's going to do that.
She's going to do that. Smart.
Because she wanted to keep the quality up. But a lot of people are like, man, I can't raise my prices. I'll lose my customers. So I'm going to drop quality and see if I can get a different product for less.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of barbecue joints have done that. And I've stared clear. I haven't really gone to a barbecue joint for good barbecue in probably 6 months.
Yeah, I'm the same too. And there's, you know, when you have like a beef shortage, and you've got a restaurant, and I've talked to some restaurant owners where they say, look, you know, we try to get the prime briskets. You know, you get prime, choice, and select. Mm-hmm. And there's certain times where a restaurant would be like, or a supplier would be like, sorry, you only get X amount of primes. The rest is going to be choice. Mm-hmm. So you just have to deal with it. And so, as you say, you can either, you know, only sell the primes, and when it's gone, and pay a higher value for it, or go with the choice, and then hope that you can make it taste good.
I hope that you don't get people in that have the palate that can discern.
Yeah.
But I can just out of the texture of it, the way it breaks and crumbles, the way it bites, the way it holds an edge, like, you know,
yeah,
it's really hard to imitate quality in barbecue. So I haven't been around, but I am going to go try that place.
Yeah, I think next time.
Because I don't remember the brisket. I don't remember it.
I know you and I don't get down to Utah County very often.
I think we're there tomorrow.
So, what, after the show? We'll swing on by.
Maybe after the show. We'll hit it. We'll have a better review for
you. I've never been to the actual location, too. But I will say this. The owner has done a lot of great work. He's one of the best dudes on the planet. You and I have met him once, I believe.
Yeah, I think his name's Cam.
Yeah.
So I think that he's closer. The reason I kind of knew about him, I think he's kind of close with Taysom Hill. I think that the Saints brought him down to their organization to do some barbecue for them down in New Orleans. And if I remember right, there was a lot of praise and good review that came out of that New Orleans locker room with his barbecue. So if you're looking for some good barbecue, that might be the place to start. I really can't, in good conscience, suggest anywhere else.
Well, I mean, there's a place that you and I were a big fan of at first, and a lot of people were, when they had one spot, and it was just kind of a hole-in-the-wall joint, and they did a really good job. And, in fact, their brisket tacos were some of the best things I've ever had. And then, you know, and look, I don't blame you. Look, if you can expand and sell and go corporate and make a little bit of money, go for it. But with that comes a cost a little bit, and the quality kind of drops a bit.
That does happen a lot.
Yeah.
It does happen a lot.
All right, let's get back to it. Hans and Scotty here on the Zone Sports Network.
Well, I wanted to finish up with one more Kalani Sitake cut. Scotty, if you don't mind, I want BYU fans to hear from the head coach of BYU just talking about his offensive talent. I think that right now the offense is – that's kind of the most beloved child of this entire system right now.
That's fair, yeah.
And Kalani Sitake kind of gushed over what he expects to be a very good offense.
Yeah, a lot of talent in the receiving core and also tight ends. We have a good group of young men that come back on the O-line. Obviously, you got Lopini and Tyler at running back. And so there's definitely some good experience production that are returning. And then, you know, we've added some guys that I think bring valuable experience and toughness to this group. And they will help complement what we've already got started as far as pass catchers. So I can't wait. I just want to see them get out there and catch the ball and throw the ball and make big-time plays. And then all together, that will help our defense get better by defending them.
He didn't mention Puka Nacua by name, but I think that he was referencing the Nacuas. And did they bring them out? Because I didn't see those.
They were supposed to be there. They were on the list of players that were available, but they –
I wasn't sure if I
did
if
not see them swing by. So,
but obviously he's referencing at least Puka Nacua. We'll see if Samson can take a jump and continue to improve. But Puka right out of the gates should be your primary target. I was thinking about this. When you're making your quarterback decision, I think a lot of people think about Jaren Hall and they're like, oh, he's a dual threat guy. Oh, that guy could get out of the pocket. He can run. Man, he's got a lot of talent with his feet. I'm going to tell you my favorite attribute about Jaren Hall. He does have mobility. He's got a quality with his legs where he can get out and he can move around. But the one thing I know about Jaren Hall, he truly wants to pass.
Yes.
He's not afraid of the shot. He's not Ben Simmons at the free throw line. You know, he's not afraid to take the look, to make the throw, to take a chance. He believes in himself. So that's really important because I heard you mention Isaac Rex when you were talking with him.
Yeah.
When you talk about Isaac Rex and you talk about the Nacuas and you even talk out of the backfield, Lopini Katoa is a really nice target out of the backfield. You got to have a quarterback that's confident that's going to throw it because Aaron Roderick wants to throw it. He wants to work off play action looks. He wants to move the pocket. He wants to give quarterbacks a good area and a couple of good reads to make a couple of good throws. That's the hope. That's this offense. And they do have the targets. I won't blame the receivers and tight ends. The blame is going to go to offensive line and quarterback if it's not getting done. Because I know that those targets are good. I know what Gunnar Romney is. And I know what Puka Nacua is. I know what Isaac Rex is. We kind of know what Jaren Hall is, but he's just got to continue to improve and make the throws. But I do think that he's going to be the guy. As far as the guy, Aaron Roderick. Aaron, what's that?
Sorry, I'll keep going. Oh. I don't want to. We got to talk about something, but finish your thought.
Oh, okay.
Because Lloyd just did a really bad thing.
Other than throw,
you know what I'm talking about.
Other than throw a ketchup packet at my face. Aaron Roderick talked about the quarterbacks. This is Aaron Roderick talking about the quarterbacks and what they can do to really separate themselves.
I wish I had something new to tell you since the last time you guys asked me this at the end of spring, but there's three guys in the mix, and I have a good plan for how I'm going to distribute the reps early in camp. And they're good players. I believe in all three of these guys. But we're going to just give them the reps and make a tough decision. And you know, it's not an exact science. Sometimes you don't get it right, and sometimes it takes a while to sort it out. So I hope our fans will just pull for whoever's in there and trust that we are doing our best to work our way through it.
They're certainly not tipping their hands. And I've asked Aaron Roderick a couple of times away from the mic, and he doesn't tip his hand then either.
No,
He's pretty quiet about it.
I tried to. There was a moment where we were replaying something, and I went over and we chatted for about 5 minutes and tried to peel back the layers. And he's like, no, give all the guys a shot and see what happens.
Yeah, because he does have a real deep belief in each of the three.
Yeah. Well, they're like his kids, too. You know? That's got to be tough for an OC.
They're like his kids. And Scotty, the other thing that I want to make real clear for football fans out there, it's a different world now. Like, we talk about, well, we want to name the quarterback, so I know who to get behind. I know who the starter is. He's separated himself. Well, the problem is kids transfer now. If they don't feel like they got a shot, they're out. And so if you don't leave it kind of open-ended, you lose a Baylor Romney.
Yeah.
You possibly lose a high-end recruit in Conover. I don't know what's going to happen with Soje Maeva, but his name not being mentioned in this race, I wonder if he gets all upset about it and he moves on down the line. I think BYU's done a good job of retaining their talent, but guys nowadays, they hear one name and it's out. And here's the bad thing. This is the bad thing. In fact, here's a cut of Aaron Roderick talking about the bad thing of losing quarterbacks to the transfer portal and how important it is to keep those guys happy and around.
We did a study a few years ago, I can't remember how many years the study was, but basically there's about 20 teams a year that make it through the whole year with one QB. And out of 120 or 130, whatever. Yeah, it's 130 now.
Yeah.
There's about 20 a year that make it through the year with just playing one guy. Now, just the chances of needing somebody else to be ready to go is very high. And so that's one thing I feel great about, and I think it gives everybody some hope to keep working. And then the other thing is that these guys are all still young. I mean, clockwise, I mean, Baylor and Jaren have been here a while, and they're returned missionaries, so they're getting older, but they're sophomores. And then you've got Conover, who's a true freshman. He's still got 5 years to play for. So I think that's another reason to just, you know, you got to be professional about it and work your way through it and understand that there's still enough time left for all three of those guys to have a great, great career. And that's very possible. That could happen.
It could, and it just takes one injury, and you got to get him in the mix. All right, so what did Lloyd just do? What is this?
Can we, like, save this for what you may have missed? We're, like, late.
Well, I'm sorry because, like, you were on, and I feel bad because, you know, you were delivering some good points, and I just saw it pop up on Twitter, and my initial reaction was just, I was horrified. And then I looked over at Lloyd.
I like to go with 80s movies sometimes. I get on a kick.
Okay, is this Bloodsport?
Yes, it is.
And you put a GIF on our email, or on our tweet, outlining what's on the show today that you do every day, and I appreciate you doing that. But it's Jean-Claude Van Damme doing essentially a
uppercut
to the nether regions.
No, that was to the inner thigh.
Of the sumo guy.
That's not the inner thigh.
That's inner thigh. You can't even tell. It's inner thigh.
Inner thigh? No.
No. No.
Oh, man. He's getting all the glory here.
That's a torsion waiting to happen right there.
And then you do that.
Is this in reference to just how busy the day is? Because you said busy day today on the zone, and then it's Jean-Claude Van Damme delivering an uppercut to the homeboys.
to the thigh.
It's not the thigh. No. You can tell by that sumo wrestling.
Well,
reaction.
I'll make better decisions going forward, I guess.
If I remember right,
the Rome.
The sumo wrestler is stunned.
No win in Rome.
The sumo wrestler is stunned, and doesn't Jean-Claude Van Damme get up and just push his head and tip him backwards?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, pretty rough moment. Great movie.
Man,
do you remember seeing that for the first time?
Yes.
Just being like, I want to be at the Kumite so bad.
Yeah.
And then we had this illegal fighting tournament kick-up called the UFC that had to be out of American borders because they couldn't handle the nastiness of it. You remember, it took New York forever to even sanction MMA.
I know.
But that early MMA was basically blood sport.
I know. I had this would have been 95, my first, you know, fall of 95. I have a college roommate. He's like, you like sports? I'm like, yeah, you got to see this. He had this old beat up VHS tape, and it was some of the early MMA stuff. And I'm like, what is this? This is like a snuff film. I don't want to watch this.
It was pretty brutal.
This is
nasty. They put drunken bar brawlers in with.
This is back in the time of like Tank Abbott? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. This is back when they would put drunken bar brawlers in with like the drunken master, you know, like. Asian arts, like longtime Asian artists, and it was unpredictable and crazy. And then Hoyce Gracie comes in and starts breaking everybody's arms and choking everybody out. And it's like, oh, okay, so
cool,
I guess
called leverage. Yeah,
I guess we have to do this in order to compete, and that's why we have today.
Yeah,
UFC. It's its own body of martial arts.
You're not slipping out of this gi, clothing.
You remember his gi?
Yes.
He would soak up everybody's sweat so that he could get a nice grip on their
you
arm.
You weren't getting out of there at all.
That's messed up.
That's why they don't allow gis anymore.
All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. What you may have missed coming up next.
The Top 60 and 60 is back on the Zone Sports Network. Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah as voted on by the local media. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60, weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union and ICON on your home of the best college football coverage in Utah. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. By the way, we're going to announce number 52 in our top 60 and 60 today. In case I want to get your thoughts as to whether that's 52.
Let me scroll down here. Oh, did I miss it somewhere? Oh, sorry. You had it right there. Oh, yes. I like this guy.
Yeah. Too high, too low?
Probably about right.
Yeah.
Probably about right with his usage, his contribution. But this guy is a fan favorite.
Yeah.
How about this? I'll throw out one hint. We'll see if people can guess it on Twitter. If you can guess this guy off this hint on Twitter, I will give you accolades on Twitter. I will give you an attaboy.
Maybe we'll find Johnny to track you down some jet or some bees tickets.
There you go. At 975 Hants at Scotty G Zone. The hint for number 52 in the 60 and 60 today is he was last year's fan favorite. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Everybody loves this dude.
Everybody loved him, right?
Yeah.
And nobody knew about him.
No.
And he just blew up onto the scene by doing great things. Is that not?
No, I think you're good.
I can't give him much more.
It's pretty vague, but.
If you can't get it off that, then I don't know what to do for you.
We'll make that announcement coming up today at 1:30 right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
It's about right, though, don't you think?
I think so, yeah. By the way, last night I was bummed out because I was sat down, got my Coke Zero. So let's watch some NBA.
Nope.
No, sir.
None last night, but game two coming up tonight. Hey, so, Scotty, I don't know how to be sensitive with this, but because I know that this is a very sensitive topic. But, okay, let's just say you're a head coach in the NBA.
All right.
And you're in the Western Conference Finals, and you get a call from a physician that says, hey, we just had a COVID situation, whether it was a close contact or a positive COVID result. And this guy's out. He's out. He's in protocol, COVID protocol. In today's world of vaccinations, and how do you handle that as a coach?
Well,
because from what I understand, that's what we're dealing with, right, with Chris Paul.
Yeah. Now, Chris Paul is telling everybody he's been vaccinated. It's just one of those rare cases, and he doesn't have any symptoms. But it's one of those rare cases where, according to Chris Paul, that, you know, it can, you know, one of the 2 or 3% that you can still get COVID after being vaccinated. I have a hard time believing this. I have a really hard time. Like, I don't know, maybe it's not my place to make any assumptions here, but I will say if I'm a coach and I have a player that I need to win, even though they won game one without Chris Paul, and he's not vaccinated, and I lose him, then I'm telling, look, I'm beyond upset, because there's opportunities out there for you to be able to play and be out on the court and help us win. And if you're not getting vaccinated, then I have a problem. I know it's still your choice. I get it. All that stuff. And don't blow up my timeline. I get it. But I'm also saying, look, it's more than just you. It's about your team. And you get this poke, and we'll be fine, and we can go on and try to win a championship. So now coach can't say that because that's, you know, letter of the law. You can't approach things or employees or anything like that. But still, in the back of your mind, you're like, all you had to do was get the shot. We could have won this thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's crazy is the Phoenix Suns won without him and have a good chance again tonight to win without him. But remember, the Clippers have started 0-2 in every one of their series so far this year, haven't they?
Yep.
So that's
they go down 0-2. It's like, all right, well, that's kind of what.
Well, now the Clippers are going to win.
Now they'll wake up, and here we go.
They'll roll off four straight. Maybe maybe they'll roll off five straight. So at some point, not having Chris Paul on the court is going to be a huge detriment. It might be tonight, but the Clippers continue without Kawhi Leonard. He won't be out there on the court tonight. No Chris Paul, no Kawhi Leonard. You take a couple of the superstars off the court in tonight's matchup.
And I'm sure Terrence Mann will average about 6.5 points throughout the entire playoff series.
Watch him go 0 of 18.
Oh, man. Wide open threes, and he's just clanking them.
Nobody's rotating out to him. Phoenix is like, go ahead, take it, man.
You got it all out of your system. You're done now.
Aiden's got one foot on the block. Go ahead, man. Yeah. Take it. Not even rotating out.
First guess, Jeff tweets in Mo Longhi on the top six. No, I don't even think Mo's on the team anymore. Quit trying to.
You know you didn't need to read that, man.
It's a good guess, though.
It's not.
Oh, there's quite a few that are getting it.
Oh yeah.
Well, those top two.
Oh wow, I must have.
It's top two up there.
Yep. All right. Well, I must have muted some people because I'm not even seeing those come in.
Yeah, there's quite a few that are getting it. Wow, I thought that I was really vague in giving a tip. Would you've gotten it off that, Lloyd?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I thought to myself, oh, great.
Hey, by the way, also in what you may have missed, it's Happy Anniversary Day. Today, back in 2017, the Denver Nuggets did the Jazz a favor and drafted a man by the name of Donovan Mitchell, who was then shipped to the Jazz in a trade.
Wait, what?
So 4 years ago today, June 22nd, my bad. June 22nd, 2017 was the NBA draft, and that was the draft in which Donovan Mitchell was selected by Denver and then sent to the Jazz.
Man, what an amazing pick. Continues to be an amazing pick.
Yep.
I know that there are Jazz fans that are still reeling, and we're going to have a segment about this. I know you're still reeling. I've kind of wanted to let some of the anger and pain die down. I also wanted to allow some of the Jazz fans to return to sports radio because I think that some are like, I can't deal in the pain of it.
Yeah.
But there are some realities of what the Jazz have in front of them and what they can move forward with that I think that there's still a lot of positivity.
Yeah.
And I've got one take in particular, one point in particular we're going to really hammer home with this Jazz team. So we'll get to that. But Donovan Mitchell, what an incredible pick. By the way, White Crisco, yes, you are correct. El Hada, yes, you are correct. Belly Fat, yep.
Belly Fat.
Yeah, Belly Fat on Twitter. You are correct as well. So some correct guesses coming in. At 975 Hans, who's number 52? Fan favorite last year.
Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.